let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. After 50 years of meditating, Anne Speer discovered her inner thoughts sometimes came in the shape of poetry. She had always loved poetry, but she didn't trust herself to write it. Then, well, it just happened. Tenuously at first, then with encouragement from others, she became more brave. Her critically acclaimed book of poetry, Random Thoughts, is not only the bits and pieces of a spiritual journey, but also an intimate gaze into the heart and soul of a human being who knows there are no answers, only love. Anne was born in Texas, raised in Kansas, 3 advanced degrees of music, opera, and world travel, 2 careers, college music professor and real estate broker owner, currently retired in California with her husband and 2 dogs. She enjoys reading, writing, golfing, hiking, and singing at All Saints in Pasadena. Anne Speer, author of Random Thoughts on a Life Well-Lived, if not always well-lived, our guest on This Week in America. And welcome to the program. I love the title. Welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I put the emphasis all in the right places. There are a lot of commas in there as I'm reading through that. I love that. The title, Random Thoughts, if you look for that, you Google it, you'll find it, book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Let's talk about with this fascination that you've had all of your life with poetry, and I think you've got a poem you're going to share with us in a minute that sort of explains your philosophy. What was it that interested you and sort of, it sounds like maybe intimidated you with poetry over the years?
Well, as you mentioned, I have a great deal of experience in music, and this has helped with the writing of poetry, not only because it kind of gives me an intuitive ability to phrase things as if it were music, but it also means that as a fledgling composer, music composer, I had to read a lot of poetry before I would find one that sort of spoke to me that I felt that I could set to music. Now, I don't want to imply that I'm a music composer because I'm not very good, but I did when I was younger and especially in graduate school compose a number of things and read tons and tons of poetry. I had many favorites, but I tell you, the most favorite of all, if you can say, you know, the bestest of the best, is Mary Oliver. I've always loved her poetry.
Yes.
And she sort of gives you permission to be very down to earth and real. I mean, who would start a poem that said, I worried a lot? I mean, that's just, you know, how real
exactly.
She is.
Yes.
And then, you know, I've been writing for about 30 years, but during meditation, these things would come to me. You know, my belief is that you have to sort of have an empty mind so that these thoughts sort of bubble up. And I call them triggers because I can write it down and finally I must write it down because I don't remember it if I don't. But I write down a word, a phrase, or maybe even just a concept while I'm meditating, and then I come back to it. It could be later that day or it could be a week later, but that little trigger is still there, and I sit down to the computer, and then a poem comes out. Now, I'm not saying it's any good at that point, because it isn't. I have to do lots and lots of editing and revision and polishing, and I read it over and over and over again. I read it out loud and try to make it into something that's worthwhile. And once in a while, it's okay. I don't want to say it's great, because I'm certainly not a great and wonderful poet, but once in a while, it speaks to other people, and I am told even cheers people up when they need a little bit of cheering up, and I am happy for that.
Well, it does. When you read the reviews, the book is Random Thoughts, Anne Speer, that's S-P-I-E-R, book available at Amazon, all the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Anne's book, get information there, other books as well, and we'll talk about that as we go through the conversation here today. So this is interesting for you behind the scenes, sort of how this all takes place, and probably encouraging words for people out there listening that maybe have gone through that same sort of trepidation with poetry before? They liked it, they think they could do it, but they just haven't pulled the trigger, and you were able to do that. And you've got a poem, I know, that you have in Random Thoughts. It sort of sums up your philosophy of poetry. Would you read that for us, please?
Oh, the Ode to Poetry. Yes, this is kind of it's as if I'm talking to poetry. Poetry is a real live being. Where have you been all my life? Hidden in weary words, soon to be thrown away. Misunderstood as archaic angst, cloistered by fear and shame. Surely I am not good enough for such a handsome fellow. Yet you cosset me and comfort me in countless ways I cannot number nor express. Until I take my pen and place a student at your feet, hungry for a metaphor, for smooth and soothing words, ready to write and adore.
That is so well done. Now, how long did it take to craft that poem?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Oh.
You know, what I do is I just, you know, get something into the computer, and then I return to it a few weeks later, and I like to have a hard copy to work with. So I print it out, and then at the dining room table, maybe I'll go over... I am finding that I can't do more than maybe 8 or 10 poems at a time. Then I have to walk away from it for a while. But I'll find all kinds of ways to make it a little bit better, you know, more concise.
Yes.
There's a trick to this, though, because there's a freshness that you don't want to lose by too much revision. You have to be careful to keep I'm not sure what the word is, that fresh is the best word that I can think of. If it needs to be a fresh idea that sort of bubbles up rather than sounding like it's overworked. Here's one that I worked on for a long, long time. It's very, very short, but I absolutely love it. I am a poet too small, too inept and dull to express the grandeur of the universe. Yet I feel it with my poet's soul, the width and breadth and wonder. I can but stumble from one delight to another, grateful for its surprising beauty.
And that sort of sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, that is, again, so well crafted, and it's interesting to say that you can really over-tweak a poem, can't you?
That's right, yes. I've done that. And you know, once it's over-tweaked, you just have to throw it away. And there have been a few poems that I just, you know, I wanted it too badly, I think. I worked on it too hard, and ultimately I just kind of had to throw it away. That spontaneity, I like to think that I have a sense of humor, because it's so important to have a sense of humor. That last poem that I read to you talks about my love of nature, and of course I love my dogs and books, and there are a lot of things that give me such a joy in living. In fact, I have a poem that says, I choose joy with gritted teeth. That, you know, that it's probably too long to read here, but having that sense of joy is so important, I think, and that's one of the things that you sometimes find in Mary Oliver, too, although I don't want to compare my poems to hers, because hers are really, really wonderful.
Well, yours are as well, and what a great inspiration to draw, you know, motivation and inspiration from someone like that, and obviously she's sort of a mentor, isn't she? Doesn't know it, but you sort of learned a lot from her.
I became aware of her when she was the poet laureate for the state of California, and I started reading her poetry, and I think I bought every book that she published, but I've also given many of them away, so I don't have all of them. But here's one that actually was a honorable mention in a contest that I entered it in. It's called Home. There's a number of things I don't like about home. For one thing, no one picks up after you. nor washes dishes, nor cleans the house. Why don't clothes know the way to the hamper? They've traveled it often enough. And why can't books find their proper place, and dishes the short flight to the washer? They should be factory trained to self-load. But home is where my chair is, where I sit when I want to be with you. And my doggies come to greet me, to wash me, to nudge and get a massage, to nuzzle for treats in my pocket. Ah.
So well done. And that's just an example of what you'll find in Random Thoughts. You can understand why it's receiving rave reviews. The book by Ann Speer, that's S-P-I-E-R. Book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly, get information on this book and other books by Ann. How long have you been writing? You mentioned years you've been working in poetry, but you've been writing for years as well. How long have you been writing?
About 30 years. I had a dream in 1979. I didn't write it down, which you should always write your dreams down, because there are messages in your dreams that really could have a great deal of importance to your life. But I didn't need to, because I just remembered this dream. It was so... It was like a movie in Technicolor with suspense and background music. And it nagged at me for years and years. And then finally, about 30 years ago, I sat down and wrote out the contents of that dream. And it turned out to be the first three chapters of the Zoo Chronicles. And I worked on it for about 20 years because... although I am a voracious reader, and love to write. I mean, even as a child, I wrote plays and books and things to take to school. But I didn't have time. You know, I was a mother and had jobs.
Oh, yes.
Always worked. All of my life, I've always worked. So, but then I sort of was semi-retired, and I started writing. I think writing is a wonderful therapy, and I had a lot that I needed to have therapy for and going on in my life. And so I started writing, and it was years before I produced anything that was worthwhile, but it was a wonderful therapy for me, and I started journaling, and after about 30 journals, it sort of meshed into, books, actual books. So I published 12 Dogs, which is the story of my life, is told by 12 of my dogs. I'm now on dog 15. But when they die and they go back to God to report on my progress, it's all conversation. The entire book is just dialogue. Because these dogs have been assigned to my life to try to help me get through my problems, and that's dogs have done that for me. Dogs have been wonderful companions in my life, but it has a lot of humor in it, and it's also sort of a autobiography, if you will. And so that was the first one that I actually published. I wrote many books that didn't measure up, let's say, to publication. But I published 12 Dogs. And then after working on it for 20 years, I finally published the Zoo Chronicles. And then I think it was partially the pandemic that sort of gave me the quiet time. You know, we all pulled back and stayed home. And had lives that with stillness and silence that let my mind open to the poetry that came bubbling up when I was meditating. As you mentioned, I've been meditating for over 50 years, and it's very, very important in my life. I wouldn't think of starting a day without meditating.
You know, it's interesting. So, you mentioned triggering words when you talk about meditation. And I wanted to go back to that because that's so important, I guess, in any creative function that we're engaged in. And maybe anything about life, maybe when words come in, we're too quick to dismiss them. Do you think that's true in life? When you get those triggering words, remember them because they're planted in your subconscious for a reason.
That's absolutely true. That's why I recommend keeping a piece of paper and yes. a pencil with you at all times, because you never know when it's going to happen. I remember one time the phrase came to me, the song of my people, and it was used in one of my poems about my dogs. And, of course, the song of my people is barking at the door when a stranger comes.
Yes.
And it just, you know, it came to me and I wrote it down. And it was months later when I picked that up and wrote one of my dog poems. And that's what you have to do. You have to be very self-aware to catch these little things that race through your mind, because they it's like they don't want to be caught. And so you have to have your mind quiet and still and empty, and then when they race through, you grab it and write it down, because when you go to the computer later on, you don't know what it will blossom into. It may be something that is a wonderful thought. So that's my philosophy on poetry.
Anne Speer is our guest on the program, S-P-I-E-R. Her book is Random Thoughts, a Book of Poems. And time is going by so quickly here, and there's so much I want to talk about. And a couple more poems I will ask Anne to read for us. You use a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh, No Mud, No Lotus. Talk about that, the inspiration from that, and it says so much of how you use the arts, use poetry in this case, to maybe get through some difficult times, to reflect on difficult times as well.
That's so true. And as you probably know, Thich Nhat Hanh just died a couple of weeks ago. And he was such a wonderful guide to those people that meditated and chose to have this quietness enter their lives, and he wrote many books about this. But I particularly like his phrase, no mud, no lotus, because, of course, if you're alive, there's a lot of mud in your life.
A lot of mud.
Whether you like it or not, it's just a part of living. And what you do with it, how you accept it, and just how you survive is one of the things that shapes your influence on others. And I believe very strongly that there's a oneness to all of life, and this oneness is the source of joy and love. If you can feel that you're at one not only with nature and the beauty of the universe, but with all human beings. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all endure and survive the mud. And then we find beauty at the, not necessarily at the end, but at some point in your life, I call it cronehood. You reach a point of a certain amount of wisdom so that you can accept all of this. And as Elsa says, let it go. You have to, it sounds like a contradiction, but you have to accept it to let it go and release it from your life so that you can feel the joy and the love of life. I will read another poem that I wrote spontaneously when my therapist canceled an appointment on me.
Interesting.
The world is my therapist. I shall not care if you cancel our appointment. Every rock, tree, and flower, every copse is a priestly bower. My aura is a cloud of butterflies as I confess my sins to the evening breeze. A choir hears my yearning in the setting sun when I complain of my neighbor's dis-ease. Now you're sick and not ready, you say, to hear my confession. We must postpone to another time and day. Pshaw, I care not. I am not needy. I will shout out my secrets loud and clear for every soul in the universe to hear. All I need is right here in the beauty of the world's creation.
That's so well said, and got you through that period there. That could have been, you know, somebody would have sulked for maybe a couple of days by having an appointment canceled. You basically self-therapied yourself, didn't you, during that occasion?
Well, I love nature. I think sometimes if people would just go outside and touch a tree. You know, it doesn't even have to be out of this city. I love the mountains, and I've been a hiker most of my life and a golfer. I love being outdoors. But just sometimes to go to your front yard and touch a tree or notice something small and supposedly insignificant and the beauty of it in nature is that I feel is it can bring you good health.
Well, you point out nothing is really insignificant, and the book is so well done. Random Thoughts. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places, and Spear, S-P-I-E-R. A couple minutes left in the program. Talk a little bit about the sense of humor, where this comes from. You've got a couple of poems that reflect that as well. And it sounds like this really got you through the ups and downs of life and having a sense of humor.
Do you know who Marie Kondo is?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, sure. She's the person that tries to advise us to get rid of the clutter around
declutter,
our house.
Yes.
I confess right now to having a very cluttered household, and I like it that way. So this poem says, "My house is a clutter, and I like it that way. Offend others, it may. It's abominable," Marie would say. "There are books all round and dog-made grime. I cover it all with Afghans. It's not a crime. I know where my things are, my 200 must-read and reread books, my guilty pleasure, you might say. I'll get to them someday. But there's one other apology to make to my children and grandchildren, I think. They may learn to hate the stuff I love when I pass at 108.
I love that. That sense of humor, that touch of oneness with nature, of going outside and just enjoying what's there. All of that is reflected in Anne's book, Random Thoughts. Time, do you have one more poem? I'm going to squeeze an extra poem in here. I love hearing you read these so much. Any poem to close out our conversation?
Maybe a tiny bit longer poem.
That's fine.
This is what is this joy? What is this joy I feel when I sit in the morning sun as it pours onto my meditation chair? I gaze in amaze at the Norfolk pine I love so dear. It stands tall and straight, its omnipresence a symbol of things in nature that wonder me daily, like mountains and streams and the symmetry of a flower. What is this joy I feel? My eyes wander to the bookshelf to ponder pics of my beloved grands, lounging and laughing upon the sands of a nearby beach. Children without a care so far, because of the wisdom and work of parents beloved and loving, parents I scarcely remember parenting so carelessly myself. What is this joy I feel? On the piano I see remains of travels and times abroad and away, tours and trips to sing and savor the world's flavors. A prayer wheel from Tibet, a Nepalese singing bowl, an etched gourd from Peru, a fighting bull from Spain, and a chicken from Portugal. What is this joy I feel? A heart-shaped stone from a dear departed friend, my mother's misshapen Scotty dog, a papier-mâché angel in paint of gold. What are these things? For they are not things at all, not of any import really, except for the memories they hold, sacred and vivid as truth. Love expands the breast and blooms down my arms and legs. So many memories live here, not in the things themselves as such, but in my heart and soul. Oh, I have been fortunate indeed, and have much to be thankful for. For what are these things that stand for the things I love and adore? What is this joy I feel? Except perhaps I think maybe it could be nothing but a rare good night's sleep.
I just love what you do, love the poetry. Enjoy. I have you read the book. You need to do an audio book because you could just read the poetry and entertain so many of us. The book is Random Thoughts. I'm going to take 30 seconds here. What's next for you? Are you working on another book currently?
Yes, another book of poetry called The Peach Tree, and a second volume to the Zoo Chronicles. I'm mostly working on the poetry right now, but I've got an outline ready, and I know what I need to do with the second volume. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it. I'm playing with the title The New Eden, and I'm very, very concerned about the fate of the earth and what we've done to it and what's going to happen in the future.
Yes.
So Zoo Chronicles and the New Eden are sort of, it's exposing the worst possible outcome for the earth, but yet it brings hope. And that's my message in those books. Hope for future generations.
We need that so much, and I hope we have a chance to talk about those books as well. It has been so much fun, Anne, to have you on the program. Anne Speier, that's Speier. The book is Random Thoughts. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Anne, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Congratulations on the success of Random Thoughts. Hopefully we'll stay in touch and do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I really appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure. Anne Speier, Speier, book Random Thoughts. You'll find all the information, link on directly to her Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.